Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
This demanded a bipartisan solution. We knew we'd need to come together for a solution like the one that passed tonight. And so I'm happy to stand here passing this critical legislation to support our families, preserve vital programs, and most importantly, avoid catastrophic default.
That was Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer late last night after his chamber passed the debt ceiling bill. We'll have more on that vote and the continuing fallout in the House over the agreement. Meanwhile, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis seizes on a potential weakness in Donald Trump's third presidential bid while both men campaign in Iowa. And also ahead, a rough moment for President Biden at a graduation ceremony, which will fuel more questions about his age as he seeks a second term. Good morning and welcome to Way Too Early on this Friday, June 2nd. I'm Jonathan Lemire. Thanks for starting your day with us. We'll begin this morning with an official deal in Washington. The Senate passed the Biden-McCarthy debt ceiling bill last night in a rare bipartisan act in the Capitol. The move ensures that the United States will not default on its debt after weeks and weeks of uncertainty. The final vote was 63 yeas to 36 nays, with more Democrats voting for the deal than Republicans. The bill now heads to the president's desk to be signed into law. In response to the bill's passage, President Joe Biden thanked Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and Minority Leader Mitch McConnell for their work and also noted, quote, "No one gets everything they want in a negotiation, but make no mistake. This bipartisan agreement is a big win for our economy and the American people." Senator Schumer also spoke on the bill's passage shortly after the final vote came down.
"We've saved the country from the scourge of default, even though there were some on the other side who wanted default, wanted to lead us to default. We may be a little tired, but we did it. So we're very, very happy."
There had been some Democrats grumbling as to why the White House wasn't more assertive in the messaging around this bill. Well, as I and my colleagues report this morning, that was a deliberate strategy. They didn't want to be seen as gloating. They believed they had gotten a good deal here, would be politically beneficial. And they didn't want the Republicans to have second thoughts. They didn't want to lose votes if they were too far out ahead of it. And also the White House believes that their steady, above-the-fray approach will be a stark contrast to the hysteria they believe the Republican Party has shown, the extremism of the GOP when it comes to next year's elections. Joining us now, congressional reporter for The Wall Street Journal, Siobhan Hughes. Siobhan, great to see you this morning. So talk to us about last night. There's been so much drama and attention as to how this deal got through the House. We'll come back to that in a second. But this went quickly and fairly orderly in the Senate. Tell us how it came to be.
Well, the Senate was largely cut out of these negotiations, which were between McCarthy and Biden, so really didn't have much time to process what happened. And we saw some of those concerns that would otherwise have been in the mix creeping up in some amendment votes last night. So, for example, Tim Kaine, very unhappy that a West Virginia gas pipeline heading into his state getting approved. He tried to strip that out. That didn't work. You see someone like fiscal conservative Rand Paul saying, wow, this really doesn't do much to cut the budget, trying to balance the budget within 5 years. That amendment also failed. You're also starting to see concerns among defense hawks that this bill is not going to be great for military spending, particularly because of a provision that would snap back military spending increases in the event that Congress does not agree to a fiscal 2024 spending bill. And so you're starting to see those tensions arise, but again, largely muted in the Senate until now because they were cut out.
A different story in the House. And Siobhan, stay with me because I want to ask you about this. Republican Congressman Chip Roy of Texas doubled down on his call for a, quote, reckoning within the Republican conference after this week's debt ceiling deal. Roy also said he would sit down with House Speaker McCarthy next week.
Kevin has been working with us all through this spring in good faith, and I'd like to return to that. I feel like this last week was not ideal. I think they cut a deal in the pressure of the moment that wasn't good. I think that deal that was cut does not completely comport with a lot of the agreements that we had. I don't like red lines. I don't like threats. What I said last week when people asked is I think there's going to need to be a bit of a reckoning and a kind of review of how we're organizing ourselves in order to get things done. Because what broke down this week was that we weren't all sitting around the table.
So, Siobhan, we well know it doesn't take much to trigger a vote that theoretically could oust McCarthy from his speakership. There's certainly some real unhappiness there on the far right at House Freedom Caucus. So what are your sources? What are lawmakers telling you? Should McCarthy have serious concerns over his speakership?
Well, the fiscal conservatives are really riding a fine line here because they know they do not have any other candidate to replace Kevin McCarthy should they try to oust him. They also know that they entered the year in a very tough posture, saying that if Kevin McCarthy didn't live up to his promises, and they believe he did not, they would essentially move to oust him. And so I think they're trying to figure out what their play should be here, strategically what they're able to do. And that's why you're hearing Chip Roy use words like reckoning, which is really riding a line. Should they, shouldn't they? And they're in a tangle over that right now.
All right, we will certainly watch for that meeting next week and what else the Freedom Caucus has to say in the weeks ahead. Congressional reporter for The Wall Street Journal, Siobhan Hughes, thank you so much for getting us started this morning. We really appreciate it. Meanwhile, there's a new back and forth going on between former President Trump and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. The two White House hopefuls are sparring over the length of time they could each serve as president were they to be elected next year. It started with DeSantis arguing that Republicans need a two-term president to achieve the party's goals. Trump, who would be term limited and only be able to serve 4 years, is pushing back on that. Take a look at how it's played out this week.
Leadership, at the end of the day, it's not about entertainment. It's not about building a brand. It's not about virtue signaling. It's about producing results. You really need a very disciplined, energetic president willing to spit nails and fight the needed battles every single day for 8 years.
When I heard DeSantis go out and say and talk about 8 years, we need 8 years. You don't need 8 years. You need 6 months. We can turn this thing around so quickly. If you need 8 years, who the hell wants to wait 8 years? You don't need 8 years. I'll have it turned around, and I think fully turned around.
Anyone that tells you, oh, I'll take care of it, it'll be done in 1 day or 6 months, they're selling you a bill of goods. No one's going to get it done in a day. No one's going to get it done in 6 months. But we will, as a two-term president, be able to get this done.
Governor, do you think it's a mistake for former President Trump to say he can turn around the country in 6 months?
So I said to tame the deep state, you need 2 terms. He's not going to be able to nix the deep state in 6 months. He had 4 years. He didn't make a dent in it. Give me a break.
So you think it's a mistake?
But it's not about turning. I don't know what turning the country. I mean, obviously, there's a lot you can do on day one. Can you tame the deep state in a day or 6 months? And if he says he can do it in 6 months, why didn't he do it in the 4 years that he had?
Well, this is getting fun. DeSantis also saying that Trump's behavior is doing the former president more harm than good. Trump, as you know, has been mocking DeSantis' name and referring to him as Ron DeSanctimonious and occasionally just calling him Rob for no reason. In a radio interview yesterday, the Florida governor responded to those remarks. Take a listen.
What's your reaction to attacks like that, even on your name? Do you think that's sort of beneath the former president, or is that what you expect?
I think it's so petty. I think it's so juvenile. I don't think that's what voters want. And honestly, I think that his conduct, which he's been doing for years now, I think that's one of the reasons he's not in the White House now, because I think he alienated too many voters for things that really don't matter. So I don't get in the gutter on any of that. Now, look, we do have substantive differences, and I think President Trump did a lot of great things, and I still give him credit for the great things he did. But he's attacking me on policy where we have a disagreement, and I'm the one that's in the right on this.
DeSantis also appeared to lose his temper yesterday with a reporter in New Hampshire. It happened at the end of his first campaign event in the Granite State. DeSantis had just delivered a stump speech to an audience of more than 100 people at a local VFW. He was shaking hands and taking pictures when Associated Press political reporter Steve Peoples asked him why he didn't field questions when he was at the podium. Here's that exchange.
Governor, how come you're not taking questions from voters?
Stop coming up to me, talking to me. What are you talking about? I'm not here working with people. Are you blind?
What?
Are you blind?
I'm not blind.
Okay, so people are coming up to me, talking to me, whatever they want to talk to me about.
Are you blind? That probably won't quell concerns about DeSantis' ability on the stump and as a retail politician or his interactions with the media. Still ahead here on Way Too Early, former President Trump has claimed he'd be able to resolve the war in Ukraine within 24 hours. Last night, he was asked about just exactly how he would do that. We'll show you his answer. Plus, Amazon has agreed to pay $30 million relating to privacy violations from two of the company's most popular products. Those stories and a check on sports and weather as we look at a beautiful pre-dawn Washington, D.C.
Radio Andy.
Hey, it's Andy Cohen. Join me on Andy Cohen Live, where it's just you, me, and some of the world's biggest celebrities.
Paris Hilton.
Chelsea Handler.
Seth Rogen.
I love you, Miley. Thank you so much.
You can listen to Andy Cohen Live at home or anywhere you are. No car required. Download the SiriusXM app for over 425 channels of ad-free music, sports, entertainment, and more. Subscribe now and get 3 months free. Offer details apply.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Welcome back. We'll turn now to some of the morning's other headlines. Former President Trump was asked about the war in Ukraine during a Fox News town hall last night. Like he has many times before, Trump claimed he could settle it in less than 24 hours. But this time, he was asked for details. Take a look.
I don't want that war to continue, and I'll stop that war. Mark my words, I'll stop that war in 24 hours.
Serious question. How do you stop that war in 24 hours?
I will get them into a room, and they will, and I know an exact way. Number one, you tell one, you're not going to get anything unless you make a deal. You tell the other one, they're going to get a lot unless you make a deal. And you just sit them, and you put them in, and you have to make a determination. And within, I'm telling you, within 24 hours, that whole thing will be settled. It'll be settled. And I have, and you need the power of the Oval Office. You do. You can't just walk in and say, oh, I'm going to settle the deal. You need the power of the presidency.
Still no real specifics there, nor does it seem to acknowledge that it is an illegal, immoral invasion of Russia into Ukraine. Meanwhile, former Congresswoman Liz Cheney seems to be leaving the door open for a 2024 presidential bid. The Republican was asked about a possible campaign yesterday during a political conference in Detroit.
I am not making any announcements here today. I am really focused on making sure that Donald Trump isn't anywhere close to the Oval Office again. And
later in the interview, Cheney said she has not ruled out running as a third-party candidate. Elsewhere, tech giant Amazon has agreed to pay more than $30 million to settle complaints over privacy issues stemming from two of the company's most popular products. NBC News correspondent Jesse Kirsch has the details.
Amazon has agreed to pay $25 million after federal authorities say the company sacrificed privacy for profits when it held on to children's personal information, even after parents asked the company to delete that data collected with Alexa.
Alexa, hello.
Hi.
That voice is practically everywhere. The FTC says more than 100 million Alexa-enabled devices like this Echo Dot Kids have been sold worldwide.
The FTC also says Ring, an Amazon subsidiary, has sold more than a million cameras like this one.
So you can see every corner of your home.
The indoor cameras branded as something to make the home safer, but authorities say some cameras actually left customers exposed to illegal surveillance. Amazon now agreeing to pay nearly $6 million over that claim.
When you set up a Ring camera like this one, you can keep an eye on home from afar. But the FTC says homeowners weren't the only ones alleging that Ring gave all of its employees, quote, full access to every customer video.
The federal complaint says the issues predate Amazon's 2018 purchase of Ring. And in a statement, Amazon says our devices and services are built to protect customers' privacy. While we disagree with the FTC's claims regarding both Alexa and Ring and deny violating the law, these settlements put these matters behind us. Both settlements are subject to court approval.
We put our trust in the companies that we use with our devices, and we trust them to do what they say they're going to do with our data.
As technology and privacy concerns continue to collide. Jesse Kirsch, NBC News.
Still ahead, we'll turn to sports, and we'll have highlights from Game 1 of the NBA Finals. Plus, that league's commissioner hints at disciplinary action against one of its biggest stars. We'll have those stories and a look at some of yesterday's action around the diamond when we come right back.
Radio Andy.
Hey, it's Andy Cohen. Join me on Andy Cohen Live, where it's just you, me, and some of the world's biggest celebrities.
Paris Hilton.
Chelsea Handler.
Seth Rogen.
I love you, Miley. Thank you so much.
You can listen to Andy Cohen Live at home or anywhere you are. No car required. Download the SiriusXM app for over 425 channels of ad-free music, sports, entertainment, and more. Subscribe now and get 3 months free. Offer details apply.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
The first finals game in franchise history is a rousing success. Denver's 9-0 at home in the playoffs. They take game one.
9 days off and a debut on basketball's biggest stage did not slow down Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets last night. Jokic led the Nuggets with 27 points in the game, despite taking just 5 shots through the first 3 quarters. His 14 assists marked the most by a player in his first finals game. And with 10 rebounds, Jokic notched a 7th triple-double in his last 9 postseason games. Now, the Miami Heat, which set a playoff record for the fewest free throw attempts with just 2 in the game, they did briefly catch fire in the fourth quarter, opening up with an 11-0 run to get them within 9 of the Nuggets with about 2.5 minutes left to play, but not enough. Denver holds on for a 104-93 win and an early lead in the series. The teams remain in Colorado for Game 2 Sunday night. We should note the Nuggets have yet to lose a playoff game at home this spring. Meanwhile, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver signaled the league has reached a decision regarding disciplinary action against Memphis Grizzlies star Ja Morant, but will wait until after the finals to announce the punishment. Silver saying yesterday the league has uncovered a fair amount of additional information, but it would be unfair to these players and these teams in the middle of this series to announce the results of this investigation. Morant was suspended from all team activities by the Grizzlies last month, pending a league review of a second social media video of the All-Star guard brandishing a gun. Turning now to the action on the clay court at the French Open. The 5th longest match in Roland Garros history ended in a second round upset. 79th ranked German Daniel Altmaier outlasting 8th seeded Jannik Sinner in a 5-set marathon lasting nearly 5.5 hours. Meanwhile, 9th seeded American Taylor Fritz shushed a booing French Open crowd after taking down a home favorite in a 4-set comeback. There was an All-American upset on the women's side as Kayla Day eliminated number 20 Madison Keys in 3 sets
And 16-year-old Mira Andreeva now is the youngest player to reach the third round of this tournament since 2005. The 143rd ranked teen from Russia will next face American Coco Gauff. Let's turn now to Major League Baseball. Start in Boston. The Red Sox got a much-needed win to avoid a sweep against the Reds. Boston using a 6-run eighth inning, capped by Connor Wong's solo home run right there for an 8-2 win. But it was most certainly not all good news for the Red Sox. Their ace, Chris Sale, made an early exit in the fourth inning because of shoulder soreness. He's expected to undergo an MRI today. He appears to be made of glass. This is not good at all. In Arizona now, Corbin Carroll's two-out, two-run single walked the Diamondbacks off to a 5-4 win over the Colorado Rockies and gives them a share of the lead atop the NL West with the Los Angeles Dodgers. Time now for the weather, and let's go to meteorologist Angie Lastman for the forecast. Angie, it is finally Friday. I know it was a short week, but it seemed to take forever. How's the weekend looking?
You know what? We started hurricane season yesterday. Remember I told you that? And we've gone off in full force, right? We've got Tropical Depression 2 already formed in parts of the Gulf of Mexico. It means a soggy weekend for the state of Florida. The wind's right now 35 miles per hour, and it's looking kind of unorganized. But we could see it become a tropical storm maybe in the next couple of hours. If not, doesn't really matter. It's not going to change the forecast a whole lot for Florida as it continues to move south and east in I-Cuba. It does, though, mean that we will see those multiple rounds of heavy rain for sunshine state here over the weekend. That means a flood watch in effect, and you can see why. Localized amounts upwards of 5 inches. So some concerning conditions for maybe flooding across the state. It's really up and down the state. Also, we dealt with flooding in parts of the plains yesterday. We'll have another round of that today with more heavy rain expected for folks there. And it's not just the heavy rain. It's also the severe storms that we could watch develop into the afternoon and even evening hours, mainly centered over parts of Texas, Lubbock, San Angelo, San Anderson, also included in that. And it does include the hazards for the large hail, the strong winds, and even some isolated tornadoes. But summer out in full force across much of the Midwest and the Northeast. These temperatures pretty impressive and potentially record-breaking in many spots. Lansing headed to 93. That would tie a record. We'll notice Reading ending up into the mid-90s, close to record-breaking. And multiple cities, D.C., Detroit, Philly, all could see their warmest day of the year so far. So some impressive stuff. It doesn't last for too long. Tomorrow, we're already back into the mid-60s in New York. The Northeast will get a little cooler, but we stay warm, really warm for the Midwest. Look at Indianapolis tomorrow, 93 degrees. It ends up kind of moderating out by the time we wrap up the weekend and head into the next work week. Temperatures in the mid-70s for Philly by the time we get back to work on Monday. Nothing to complain about there.
Don't be talking about Monday yet, Angie. Have a great weekend. Thank you so much. Still ahead here on Way Too Early, President Biden appears to laugh off a fall on stage at the U.S. Air Force Academy graduation. We'll talk about this moment and what he said about it afterwards. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to Way Too Early. It is 5:30 a.m. on the East Coast, 2:30 out West. I'm Jonathan Lemire. Thanks for being with us. The White House says President Biden is doing just fine after he tripped and fell during the Air Force Academy graduation ceremony in Colorado Springs yesterday. Biden was quickly helped up by a Secret Service and pointed to something on the stage. You're seeing the fall here. The White House communications staff says the president tripped over a sandbag that was on a platform. Despite tripping, the president returned to his seat on the stage and the ceremony continued. He sat down rather gingerly after the fall. Then he shook hands with graduates and took selfies with the crowd as usual, his schedule not disrupted. When asked about the spill later in the day, here's what the president had to say. The president in good humor there and did a little jig for the reporters waiting for him on the lawn. We should note, though, that he banged his head coming off of the helicopter just moments before that. Joining us now, White House correspondent for Bloomberg News, the always nimble Jordan Fabian. Jordan, look, presidents do trip and fall sometimes. That happens. We all do. Let's be clear. But for this president, we've never had a president who's 81 years old running for re-election. He's already the oldest man to serve. And the White House, as much as they don't want to talk about it, they know polling suggests that the president's age is his biggest vulnerability. What do we think? How does this play out? How does the White House, how does the campaign try to spin it?
Well, Jonathan, you saw a bunch of the president's allies and also White House staff rushing to his defense on Twitter as the video of this fall spread like wildfire. And look, honestly, they're going to be sensitive to this sort of thing for the reasons you mentioned. All presidents fall, but he's the oldest man ever to hold this office in U.S. history. Stories about his age, questions about whether he's fit for office are going to be a central feature of this campaign. So any sort of incident that illustrates that is something they're not going to want to see and that they're going to want to downplay. I will say, fortunately, it did seem that despite the alarming nature of that fall, that he wasn't injured on stage there at the Air Force Academy.
Yeah, and we should note how quickly, as you say, the Republicans pounced on it and started circulating that video. And a White House staff that tends to say these things, hey, no big deal. We stay above the fray. We don't engage on Twitter. Well, that was not the case yesterday. They were all over it, which makes us think that's sort of a clue that they know it's sort of a big deal. Well, let's set that aside, because otherwise this was a terrific week for the president. He helped see this debt ceiling bill get through Congress. The nation won't default. He was able to get a lot of Democrats fighting for it. So talk to us about how the White House feels that went and how it could set them up for not just the months ahead governing, but also the campaign to come.
Look, you're not going to hear President Biden or the staff brag until the ink is dry on this piece of legislation, brag about how great it is. But behind the scenes, they're feeling very good about how this negotiation turned out. Remember, at the beginning of this process, they were very wary about negotiating with Speaker Kevin McCarthy because they weren't sure how much leeway he was going to have given the far right faction of his caucus sort of threatening his speakership. And they were able to hammer out at the end of the day a deal that both men and both Democrats and Republicans in Congress could stomach, and averting a debt default, which, by the way, they're suspending the debt limit into 2025, meaning that President Biden won't have to deal with this again before running for reelection. He won't have to deal with the possibility of launching his campaign in earnest in the middle of a recession. And that is a big victory for the president.
Yeah, inflation is still a concern, but this quells some of the economic fears the White House had going into its reelection bid. White House correspondent for Bloomberg News, Jordan Fabian, thank you as always. Have a good weekend, my friend. Still ahead here, we'll turn to CNBC with this morning's business headlines and an early look at the markets, which are moving in the right direction ahead of the May jobs report. We'll be right back with that. Time now for business, and for that, let's bring in CNBC's Arabile Gomede, who joins us live from London. Arabile, good morning. The bipartisan debt limit bill passed in the Senate yesterday. How have the markets responded on both sides of the Atlantic?
Well, it seems that there's a sense of positivity across the board. European markets have moved higher, around 0.5% stronger for the Stock 600. It's actually off its two-month lows, moving even further ahead. Even the oil markets have actually gone a little bit better, and that's off the back of the OPEC meeting we are expecting to see across this week. And, of course, June the 4th being the expectation there that production will be, of course, in key focus on that side. And the United States futures pointing a little bit higher, of course, off the back of that debt ceiling then. It does point to some positivity that at least things are getting done. The next focus will certainly be on the economic data front, but across the board, markets certainly looking a whole lot better with economics certainly in the purview.
And certainly in terms of economic data, perhaps the most a big one we know is the monthly jobs report, which is coming out in just a few hours, the U.S. jobs report. What is the expectation as to what we will see?
Yeah, so we've seen that jobs market kind of tighten a little bit, and that's been the key worry for the Federal Reserve, right? They've looked at it and thought the tighter this gets, the more it may put pressure on the Fed not to then continue with its rate hiking path. And even some Fed members even saying perhaps let's hold off on interest rate hikes and see what that has done to the economy and then move forward from there. So 190,000 jobs created in the month of May is the anticipation. It is and would be a drawdown from the 253,000 jobs that have been created in the month of April. 3.5% unemployment rate, a little higher than the 3.4% unemployment. So certainly a tighter unemployment and jobs market, that's for sure.
And Arabile, here's a story that I know you've been following. Meta announced that it will be releasing a mixed reality headset. What more can you tell us about what frankly sounds like a somewhat dangerous proposition?
Yeah, so it is. It's called the Quest 3, right? They've kind of tried to bring it out at a lower price point here. And this was really happening just before Apple made their announcement with regards to their virtual reality headset. So it's really just a juxtaposition trying to play off across the two. And really what is really happening here is that Meta is saying that their product has certainly gotten a whole lot better. So if you had taken a look at the Quest 2, you would have seen a little bit more pixelation. Price points were a little bit higher. And what they've done then is they've said to consumers, you can buy the Quest 2 now at a much cheaper price. And the Quest 3 then will then come off a little bit cheaper as well, around $450. So that is the price point sort of being put forward at this point. Apple said to launch their own, which may even change the game even further. And you saw this because Meta didn't even have the kind of fanfare that they usually have when they put forward a lot of their sort of announcements like this. So that has certainly been fairly interesting. It's going to be a big announcement, though, still from Apple.
Right, CNBC's Arabi Leghemadi joining us from a lively newsroom there in London. I know half the staff was at the Beyonce show last night. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend. Still ahead here on Way Too Early, Donald Trump is responding to new reports of a tape recording where he's heard talking about taking classified documents from the White House. A look at the comments he made during last night's town hall, as well as the latest on the special counsel's investigation when Way Too Early comes right back. Welcome back. Former President Donald Trump is reacting to the report that Special Counsel Jack Smith's office has obtained a recording of Trump discussing a classified document he took with him after leaving the White House. NBC News has confirmed the report, citing a source directly familiar with the matter, though we should note NBC News has not actually heard the recording. On the tape, made in July of 2021, Trump reportedly acknowledged the planning document he took was related to Iran and that it was indeed classified. The source tells NBC News the recording was made during a meeting at Trump's golf course in Bedminster, New Jersey, and included people who were helping former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows write his memoir. The source adds the tape was played during testimony provided to the grand jury that has been investigating Trump's handling of classified documents. During a town hall last night on Fox News, Trump again claimed it's all a, quote, witch hunt, and then pivoted in an effort to blame the current president, Joe Biden.
I don't know anything about it. All I know is this. Everything I did was right. We have the Presidential Records Act, which I abided by 100%. Biden has 1,850 boxes with a lot of classified stuff that he's not supposed to have. In his case, I have the right to declassify as president.
We should note that just about everything he said right there was not true. The former president also claimed he's only being investigated because his poll numbers keep going up. He asserted that if those numbers fell, the probes would stop.
If my poll numbers went down, it would all end. You know, every time my poll goes up, I say, oh, this is a problem. But we had a poll today that showed I was 44 points above number two and beating Biden by 15 and 16 points in some of them. And he's not doing well against Biden.
Joining us now, State Attorney for Palm Beach County, Dave Ehrenberg. Dave, great to see you here on set. That's Trump's denial, his defense, his bluster. But first of all, let's just get your read as to the importance of this audio recording that it seems that the special counsel's had for some time, just come to public light in the last couple of days. How key is it?
Jonathan, it's really important because prosecutors have an ethical duty only to file charges when they have a good faith belief they can get a conviction beyond a reasonable doubt. And although the documents don't need to be classified under the criminal statutes here, prosecutors want to eliminate Trump's best defense, that he declassified all the documents, he had a standing order, or that he mentally declassified it through some Jedi mind trick. They don't want a single juror on that panel, perhaps a Trump supporter, to think, yeah, maybe he did think he could declassify the documents. Well, now, because of the recording, we know he knew what the law was, and he did it anyway. So it's really damaging because people lie, but recordings don't.
So it's worth just reminding the viewers the differences between Donald Trump's situation with classified documents and those with Joe Biden and Mike Pence. Why is Trump the one who's in legal peril?
Yeah, Trump will try to compare a situation to Pence and Biden. Totally different. It's not the possession of the documents here that matters to prosecutors. It's the refusal to give them back. Or as I like to say, it's the obstruction, stupid. You can put it on a bumper sticker. 18 U.S.C. 1519 makes obstruction a crime up to 20 years in prison for its violation. And then there's the Espionage Act, which can get you up to 10 years in prison for refusing to give the documents back or to show them to people who are not authorized to see them. These are things that Trump did, not what Biden or Pence did. Again, it's not just possessing it. It's the refusal to provide them back to the government, or it's also the ability and the willingness to show it to other people who aren't allowed to see them.
So last week, the Wall Street Journal reported that Special Counsel Jack Smith was close to wrapping up that piece of his investigation. The January 6th part may go on for a while, but the Trump Mar-a-Lago probe, the paper reports, is in its closing stages. You've obviously got a lot of experience with investigations like this. Does that seem right to you from what you can see, the tea leaves you're reading? Do you think that Special Counsel Smith is near the end on Mar-a-Lago?
I do. I would expect an indictment this month. Now, Fani Willison, Fulton County, Georgia, gave Jack Smith that runway to charge this month because she said, we're going to charge, essentially, if you read the tea leaves, later on in the summer. So June, July, it's when it's going to happen. I mean, with this recording, I think it's the final piece. They wanted to debunk the main defense that Trump has, and now they have it. And we're hearing that there's not a lot of activity anymore in front of the federal grand jury. And why not? It's usually because the prosecutors have enough information, they have enough evidence, and they are making their charging decisions.
So there are so many legal matters in front of Donald Trump. Sometimes it's easy to lose track. You just mentioned Georgia. The Fulton County DA suggested that, yes, August, late July, August would be a window there. Is there anything you have seen that would make you think that she won't be charging not just potentially Donald Trump, but some of his associates as well?
No, and I think Rudy Giuliani is going to be charged because he lied to state legislative bodies. He said that there was all this fraud that didn't exist, that there were suitcases of ballots being put on the tables. That was a lie. He knew they were. That was a lie. I think that Fani Willis is going to move ahead with charges. After all, she has a tape. Donald Trump's on tape saying, find me 11,780 votes. That shows you yet again that Donald Trump's his own worst enemy. It's his own words being used against him. And you see it time and time again. Remember the Access Hollywood tape that was used against him in the Jean Carroll case? You see it in Fulton County. And now you see it here in the Mar-a-Lago documents case. It's Donald Trump who's hoisted by his own petard, to use a Shakespearean term.
Lastly and briefly, the January 6th piece of this, Jack Smith also investing in that. There has been a sense that's going to be a harder one to challenge, to charge, I should say. Do you still think that's the case? Do you think we could see a charge there too?
I think it's more likely than not that they charge him over January 6th for obstruction of an official proceeding. They've already charged hundreds of defendants with that charge. It's easier to prove than seditious conspiracy.
Right.
You can't get him on seditious conspiracy. You have to show an act of agreement with another person to use violence to shut down a government function. It's much easier to charge him with obstruction of an official proceeding or conspiracy to defraud the United States. Still, it's a much easier case for prosecutors to go after Donald Trump for the Mar-a-Lago documents, but I still think they'll charge him for January 6th.
So much legal ground to cover. We're grateful you're here. State Attorney for Palm Beach County, Dave Ehrenberg, thank you so very much. Up next here on Way Too Early, we'll take a look at the Axios One Big Thing. And then coming up on Morning Joe, the debt ceiling bill clears the Senate, avoiding a disastrous default. But not everyone on Capitol Hill is happy with the deal. What it could mean for Kevin McCarthy's hold on the speakership. Plus, live reporting from the presidential campaign trail in Iowa amid a growing war of words between Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis at odds in the race for the GOP nomination. And also ahead, NASA Administrator Bill Nelson is a guest. Morning Joe is a few moments away.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.